I mean, what if the emotional difference between you is so great? The nagging, for instance, the husband feels that all the wife does is nag, 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 doesn't respect him. The wife feels that the husband has no interest in her, doesn't connect emotionally. So what's the solution?
Well, obviously those things need to be addressed, Chuck.
Right.
But I'll just speak for myself. I feel God wants me to say, all right, Lord, you show me how to love this man, how to love him in every way, and that means how do I love him sexually? What does it look like for me to just love the socks off this man? It's what can I do?
Was that intended to be a pun?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well,
and I'm not saying that that's always easy. I have a lot of stories in here of women who challenged me, who overcame difficult backgrounds, abuse, horrible attitudes, and worked so hard to do that. And I had to say to me, okay, Linda, do you work that hard?
Hmm.
And I think we need to be challenged.
You know, I really believe that marriages are built by faith, just like anything else. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And husbands have to love their wives by faith, even when they don't feel like it or when they feel nagged. Wives have to honor and respect and revere their husbands, even when they don't feel like it. And so our feelings are not the engine of our lives.
No, they follow.
Exactly.
They follow our right choices to honor God and honor our mate and love him. And, you know, the reason I ask women dangerous questions in this book, Chuck, is what we naturally do is look at what we think is wrong in our mate.
Mm-hmm.
And do our mates need to change? Of course. But we don't look in our own heart, and we don't get on our knees and open our hands before the Lord and say, God, would you search me? And would you show me where I am falling short of really loving this man?
So that's the dangerous prayer.
It is a dangerous prayer. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that husbands and wives need to ask.
And you know, I'd like to just wrap up here with something that builds on an illustration that you give in your book, Couples Who Frequently Pray Together Are Twice as Likely as Those Who Pray Less Often, to describe their marriages as being highly romantic. But married couples who pray together are 90% more likely to report higher satisfaction with their sex lives than couples who don't pray together. Friends, I want to urge you to do something. Not just to pray together, but to sit and read the Word together to each other, and then pray. And God's promised to watch over His Word to perform it. Give it a shot. My wife and I began to do that 5 years ago, and it was high drama. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint, what it's like to be married to me. What is it like? Your gift is $17 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website and become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and Well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're going to be talking about the American Constitution that once made America the envy of the world, a document that limited the power of government so men could be free, where men were guaranteed a fair trial, and certainly before they were executed, they would be tried by a jury of their peers. But all that seems to be behind us, certainly, if we're to believe any of the story about Osama bin Laden. He was never tried. In fact, if you read what he said, not what the government said that he said, but immediately after the 9-1-1 attack, he said, I certainly did not plan it. I had nothing to do with the plan. Now, the government says he's admitted that he was involved, but and they even showed us his picture of a fat Arab with a very fat, pudgy face, speaking Arabic, but they told us it was Osama bin Laden, and they said the Arabic said that he said he actually was responsible. But what do we know for certain? We don't know really anything for certain. We don't even know whether Osama bin Laden died a half a dozen years ago and what happened yesterday. Everything is illusion or delusion. It was Edward Bernays who said many years ago in his book Propaganda that an organized and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an essential element in a democratic society, and those who control this essential mechanism society constitute invisible government. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed or ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And that is really so true. What do we really know about what's going on in the world today other than what we see on the mass media, ABC, CBS, NBC, Disney, and they all tie into the invisible government, the CFR? We really don't know what happened on Sunday evening. Was Osama bin Laden killed? Was he even alive at that time? Was it the fact that he did not have a weapon, and they sent in 40 men, and they said, will you surrender? But did they say it in Arabic, and then did he resist in some way, and 40 men with a stun gun couldn't take down one elderly Arab with suddenly severe kidney disease? We have no idea, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why it's so important that at least we have a few sound things we can talk about that we do know about, and we know about our Constitution. It was a unique document. It separated America from any other nation ever created. It limited the power of government so men could be free, because our founding fathers feared government. They feared the power of government would be misused. They feared a standing army, and they knew that you could not trust politicians. In fact, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. Well, we're going to be talking with Pastor David Whitney this evening about our Constitution. That's something we do know something about. Everything else is conjecture. Everything else may be totally illusion, maybe reality. We don't know. But first of all, we have to have some frame of reference. And the reference should be America was founded certainly by Christians. It was to be the city on the hill. It was to offer men the opportunity to be free, not to be out having our army trying to conquer the world and change the world. It was simply to have a country where men could live under God with liberty and justice for all. Well, David Whitney, you pick up the story of our wonderful, wonderful Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. In previous months, we've talked about the details of what our Constitution means, what our founders intended by.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver.
Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
The Supreme Court decision on taking prayer out of our schools. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows the Supreme Court to limit in our schools or any place else what is done as far as God is concerned. It is only Congress who make no law respecting an establishment of religion, but to change the meaning of words. And he uses the example of Humpty Dumpty, who said, "Words mean what I say they mean, and nothing more and nothing less." In other words, if you have the power of the press behind you, you can say whatever you want to, and nobody can challenge you. And this is what we see so often today. And this is why our country's in so much trouble, mainly because our citizens do not understand the Constitution. It's really very clear. It doesn't matter what the Constitution, what the judges say. You can buy and sell judges. Certainly, they're just like anybody else. They're corruptible men. And as Thomas Jefferson said, "Speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief for the change of the Constitution." But unfortunately, the Constitution is interpreted by men. And these are not honorable men. They're subject to the same certainly temptations everybody else is. That's why, until the American people understand the Constitution, the ideas laid out in our Constitution, there is no hope we can return to our heritage of freedom. We have a unique heritage among all people in the world. We have a constitution. Now, we have a lot of people, the globalists, the rich and wealthy people who don't believe in the Constitution, who want an authoritarian world order under their control. But that's why we need to rekindle, certainly within the hearts and minds of our people, not only respect, but a love for our Constitution and the realization that those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. Go right ahead, David.
And the solution then is, as you're just saying, is to get back to the Constitution as it was intended and as it was interpreted by those who framed it. And that really involves us getting back to the biblical principles that the framers held to, that the laws of nature and nature's God is the supreme law of the universe, and it's given to us in God's Word, and we have it It's fixed, it's unchanging, it's a standard that has endured the test of time. And if we return to that, we can restore our constitutional republic. And it involves a personal moral restoration as well. I think it was General Douglas MacArthur who said this: history fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay, have not passed into political and economic decline. There has either been a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. And so we have a choice as a nation. We can either return to the biblical roots, and the steps we can take first involve the personal step of being sure that our faith is solidly based upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, upon His Word, and that we're seeking to live a life of integrity consistent with that profession that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the basic building blocks of a nation are individuals of solid moral character following God's law themselves self-govern, and then those individuals build families that are following the Lord Jesus Christ, families that are self-governed, and then churches that are governed by God's law. And those are the building blocks. If you start at the top and say we're going to have a good solid political system, but you have no individuals of godly moral character, you're never going to have that accomplished. And so individually we need to be sure that our own house is in order so that we can actually be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. It was our second president, John Adams, who put it this way: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. And so the faith that of the individual citizen who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, seeks to follow His commands in God's Word, that's the essential place to start. Building upon that, of course, is that we need to expand the base of citizens who understand the constitutional principles of government, and who, understanding those, having taken our course on at Institute on the Constitution, having understood those, will make a commitment to elect only those to public office who understand and will follow those principles. So it means evaluating candidates by the fixed standards of the Constitution, asking them a series of questions on our website at Institute on the Constitution, which is IOTConline.com. If you go to the search engine there and put in the question, is your elected representative competent? Is your elected representative competent? You'll come up with a list of questions that we've designed that can be used for any candidate, whether somebody going for a federal office in Washington, D.C., or somebody running for the state house in your particular state, or even somebody, you know, running for local county government, wanting to be on the county council or mayor of the town. Do they understand what is constitutional? Do they understand the purpose of government? Questions that can help ferret out those who do not and do not hold to the principles of our founders.
Well, you know, David, I would simply point out that there have always been those who wanted to destroy this nation. And they knew that the only way and the best way to destroy this nation was to destroy the religious faith of our people, because the American people, when most of them came here, were deeply religious. Certainly there were always a few atheists, and there were some people who embraced some other religions, and there were a few occultists, but the vast majority of the American people were deeply religious. I remember my dad telling me when he was growing up, and this would be the about 1900, you know, when they went to, on Sunday, they went to church for 3 hours in the morning, and they went to church for 3 hours in the evening on Sunday. And that was the way their life was. The rest of the day they worked very hard, they had a farm. But you know, religion and God was an important part of our nation. Well, the wicked people who, of course, hate America, who want an authoritarian system worldwide under their control and want to use the financial and military power of the United States to accomplish that, and that's exactly what we're doing. That's why we have our troops in 130 nations and 724 military bases. But long ago, of course, they put their people on the Supreme Court. The Masons, who are an integral part of this, control the Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971. Why is that fact kept so secret in America. Why will the ministers never speak out about it? Why will the politicians never speak out about it? Why is this never taught in our books and schools? But you can check it out, fortunately, on the Internet and find it's true. And since the Masons worship a different God, why, of course, they took God and prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, even though Congress opens every session with a prayer. The Senate opens every session with a prayer. Both houses have their own chaplain. And even the Supreme Court begins with a prayer. But we couldn't mention God in our schools. What's wrong with that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a conspiracy against God. If you can destroy the religious faith of our people, you can destroy and then enslave our nation. But go right ahead, David.
And that's exactly right. What the wicked have done is to undermine the spiritual foundation, and that's why, to return, we need to build a base of citizens who have that biblical view of law and government, that God has ordained human government, but he has set limits, and those limits are given to us in his word, which is why the job of the church is so critically important, and why, as a pastor, I've gotten involved in this, because I recognize that the church in America has failed to proclaim to both the citizens what those limits are that God's word establishes for human civil government, and failed to proclaim to the civil magistrate himself what the limits of God's word are on his power, on his effect. And so that whole process can be turned around. We need pastors who will get back to preaching the whole counsel of God, that will proclaim what God's word says about law and government. God's word says a lot about law and government, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. And we need to recover Americans who have an understanding of the basic principles of government. An amazing time in the history of our nation. Very early on, Alexis de Tocqueville came here in 1835, and he was actually interested in what was going on in America, because he knew that in France, after the wicked bloody revolution and then Napoleon take, France was a mess, and he was fascinated by the peace he heard of in these United States, and that things worked so smoothly without government interfering in people's lives. And so he noted Americans' ignorance about European affairs, and so at first he thought, you know, Americans are kind of ignorant, but he went on to say, if you question the average American respecting his own country, the cloud that dimmed his intelligence, that is regarding European affairs, will immediately disperse. His language will become as clear and precise as his thoughts. He will inform you what his rights are and by what means he exercises them. He will be able to point out customs which obtain the political world. You will find that he is well acquainted with the rules of the administration and that he is familiar with the mechanism of the laws. The citizen of the United States does not acquire his practical science and his positive notions from books. The instructions he has acquired may have prepared him for receiving those ideas, but it did not furnish them. The Americans learn to know the laws by participating in the act of legislation, and he takes a lesson from the forms of government from governing. The great work of society is ever going on before his eyes and, as it were, under his hand. Citizens who knew what the law is, who knew the Constitution, and were actively involved in seeing that law was followed by their elected officials.
And because they knew that the power of the central government was to be limited. The central government was not to tax us. The central government was not to regulate us. The central government was to have very little to do with the individual, and certainly not to take money from all the American citizens and give to specific groups or corporations or politicians for their retirement. You go right ahead.
Well, in contrast to the people of de Tocqueville's day, as he toured America, was very impressed by what he saw, wrote a huge, massive, of two-volume Democracy in America. In contrast to his...
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security in plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
That is totally foreign to what was originally laid out by our founding fathers. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, these people have infiltrated our media, they've infiltrated our universities, our law schools, yes, even our churches. And, of course, the whole idea is to undermine the very foundation of our church. Certainly we had a program last week talking about Bella Dodd, who was a member of the Communist Party, eventually left communism and spent the rest of her life fighting it, but she talked about how when she was a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, she recruited 1,100 young men to enter Catholic seminaries to train to be priests. to infiltrate and destroy the Catholic Church. And you can see the end result of that today, because I'm sure a lot of those peoples today, if they're still living, are probably cardinals or bishops at the highest levels of the Catholic Church, doing everything they can today to discredit the Church, and by so doing discredit Christianity. And I'm sure the same thing has happened to the Protestant faith. We must understand this is long-range planning. Because this whole ultimate goal is this one world government that our founding fathers abhorred, but of course which so many of our leaders today embrace. In fact, President Obama has said, I am a citizen of the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can't be a citizen of the world and be a good American. Your loyalty has to be to America, not to this globalist dream, because the globalists, of course, do not believe in the Constitution or in individual freedom, and they certainly worship a different God. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you have a question for our guest, Pastor David Whitney. Now, we do have a fair number of ministers who listen to our programs and are out there getting the word out. I'm always encouraged when I find the number of ministers we do have who do care about our country, who do care about the religious connection between our founding fathers, this connection between their belief in God and the form of government we have. But go right ahead, David.
Well, one of the encouraging things we've also seen is that in terms of law students, we've had people who've graduated from our course have been motivated to say, you know, I know that law school is teaching the wrong thing, but I can make a difference. I can go in and go through the system and become an attorney who does understand what law truly is. And I personally know four lawyers who have a biblical view of law and government, some of them are active in practicing law, and so it is possible in this, you know, to go through and say, I know I've got to jump through these hoops, I've got to learn all these lies, but I know what the truth is. And that's been encouraging, not only in classes I've conducted, but I've talked with other hosts around the country who've had people who've graduated from Institute on the Constitution classes and then gone on to law school with their eyes wide open, knowing what they're going to be fed is a bunch of lies. And if you want to read the history of what happened in the development of law schools, I've written an article called The Darwinization of Law in America. And if you go to our website again, iotconline.com, and just type Darwinization of Law in America into the search box there, that article will come up for you to read. And it's a sad history of what transpired back in the late part of the 19th century. That, again, as you said, there was a specific agenda, and the agenda to destroy America involved the creation of law schools, Harvard Law being the big one that influenced all the other law schools eventually. But they had an agenda, they had a plan, and they actually used the training of lawyers with law schools as a means for accomplishing their plan of destroying our constitutional republic. But individually, what can we do? Well, we need to take a firm stand for the jurisprudence of original intent. Don't let that word jurisprudence scare you, but it's just how law is conducted. Original intent is what the Constitution should be interpreted as it was written according to the intent of the framers. What did they mean by the words they put on paper? Again, this is not some mystery that we cannot discover. They wrote in many volumes of letters, and correspondence, and papers, and lectures, speeches, and the Federalist Papers, as well as the Anti-Federalist Papers. We can discover what they meant by the words they wrote down on our founding documents. So we can recover that original intent. We need to stand for it, that the Constitution means only what the founders intended it to mean. And no modern invention or switch of meaning is legitimate. Those are all illegal actions.
But you see, these are immoral people. Why? Because they want to twist the meaning of the Constitution. They want to centralize power. They want to destroy Christianity. And they want to establish a one world government. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
The This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Liberty. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But David's point is well taken. Anybody who tells you, well, we have a living constitution, you know, times change and ideas change, that's fine. You want to amend the constitution, you amend the constitution, but you do not give simply a couple of fellows the opportunity, the right, just because they're wearing a black robe, to change it any way they want to. There are ways to change the Constitution, and that is by the amendment process. And, of course, his point is, well, would you want a living mortgage? And you go to the bank, you borrow money, and then they come back and they say, well, of course, this is a living mortgage, and certainly we've decided to change your interest rate. And we've decided, of course, to charge you extra, a great deal extra, and you're going to have to pay this fee and that fee and another fee, because this is a living mortgage. Well, no, I mean, nobody would assign a living mortgage. And we have an agreement with our government, and that is we have a fixed form of government. If you go to the Supreme Court building, which I have, and there inscribed in the wall in the basement there, it talks about the permanency of our Constitution. It does not change with the whims of men. It cannot be changed except by the process of amendment. But you see, they don't want you to do that. They want to, of course, utilize our wealth and our military to bring about their world government. And that's what it's all about. Once you understand that, you can understand all of what the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Masons, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, and the myriad of other secret and covert organizations, the family, the foundations, what they're all up to. But a lot of these things, organizations, most people have never heard of. Now, before we go on, David, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, and, of course, how they can actually get a course, they begin teaching it in their community, because this is happening all across America. You're not going to hear about this. The last thing these wicked people want is for the American people to know that there's a great awakening taking place. Really, within this last year, we've been at this for 9-10 years now, but certainly working with the Institute, we just kept going and hoping and praying something was going to happen, and it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
People really are beginning to wake up. So you tell our listeners about what's happening, about how they can get in touch with the Institute, what they can learn from the Institute, how they can begin teaching the Constitution in their community or their church. And then we've got a couple of callers, but go ahead.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, it's very exciting. I was graduating in class just last month, and very excited to see the folks there taking this, purchasing a host kit, which is what we've put together to enable anybody to teach this. And I've told those as they were graduating, I said, you are now more qualified to hold an office in the state, at the state house level, more qualified to hold a federal office, because you now know what the law is that many of those in power do not know, or if they do know, they are not willing to abide by. And I was pleased to see two fellows there running for office gaining help from the classes and the graduates of those classes in their campaign as they were running on a constitutional platform to return their state to the boundaries of the Constitution. So people can purchase that host kit if they want to go online. Our web store is at IOTConline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution. IOTConline.com. Just click on the store there and look for the host kit, or click the button for the host kit, because that host kit gives you everything you need. 12 lectures by constitutional law professor John Einsmo on DVD, and then two lectures by historian David Barton, a student manual that outlines those lectures, and then at the end of each lecture we've put together test questions to help the students solidify what they are learning in each of those lectures. In addition to the student manual, we have a host manual that gives the person leading the class the answers to all those test questions, suggested format and agenda for each of the 12 sessions, and everything they need, basically, to, in a turnkey method, just take our host kit off the shelf and conduct the class in whatever setting, whether in a church or in a community center or even in their own home. We have people doing these classes in many different spheres. Some people rent a room in a hotel and for 12 different sessions put together that way.
All right, now let's get the telephone number out. How can they reach you by telephone if they don't have access to the web?
Our toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again is 1-866-730-9796.
How can they actually take the course on the internet without to make sure that this is what they want, so that they'll be able to evaluate what the course is before they actually get the host kit?
Currently, Dr. Stan, I'm sorry to say, currently our online course is down, but we're hoping to have that up. There's a very inexpensive way, though, that if they want to listen to the course as a series of CDs, If they'll go to our web store again, IOTConline.com, or call us and ask for the radio shows. Michael Peruca and myself did 12 radio programs where we basically walk through the course with someone, and we only charge, I think it's $10 for that plus shipping. But so that's a very inexpensive way to survey the course, get a feel for what the course is about before actually purchasing a host kit. But we will have our online version up. I'm not exactly certain how soon, but had some technical problems with that at this time. But we'd love for people to get an audio version if they want to listen to the course, get a sense for the course in that regard. And it's very easy to conduct the course. We've talked to people who, from any walk of life, who've purchased a host kit, and they found it easy to walk through. And we tell people when they host, one of your greatest fears is probably somebody's going to raise their hand. Somebody knows more about the Constitution than you do. They're going to raise their hand and they're going to ask you a very technical, pointed question. And I tell people when they host to say, please respond this way. That's an excellent question. I will get an answer back to you. And I tell them, write that question down. Either call us at Institute on the Constitution or email us that question. And if you do so, the next day after you've held your class, we will get an answer back to you within 6 days. So by the time you hold your next session, you can say, that excellent question last week, here is the answer. We've had some really interesting questions come across that many of our hosts have called and said, boy, this is a real stumper. I have no, and that's several of them of hosts who've been hosting for 10 years. They've been doing this for 10 years, and somebody came up with a question that they had never thought of, they've never wrestled with before, and they call us. We give them the answer, and that is a blessing. So we want to be there for anyone hosting a class to help them succeed and help them really train the students in their class in that way.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane. John, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I recently heard that in the Constitution, originally the way it stated that attorneys could not be congressmen or senators. What do you know about that?
Well, that would be the titles of nobility restriction in Article 1, Section 9. And the titles of nobility were, particularly in Europe, when someone was being knighted by the king or somebody was given these honors by the king, titles of nobility were prevented in our country for two reasons. One would be that we are all equal. There is no hierarchy. There is no people who are above the law or have special privileges regarding the law. We did not want to have any sense of inequality. Now, today we obviously have such because anybody that makes it into Congress, anybody that becomes a senator or president, oh, they've got special privileges that the rest of us never will even touch. They get a special health care plan, on and on that list goes. So we've actually strayed far from that restriction on titles of nobility. The other aspect of that is we wanted to prohibit any foreign power from influencing someone in office. So if a person is knighted by the Queen of England and so forth, the Queen of England might have some influence on what that person does as a senator or a congressman. Now, that would mean that anybody who receives an honorary title from a foreign power is ineligible to hold office. But the attorney, the position of attorney, it's claimed by some that that is a title of nobility. I do not find the evidence that would prove that that's a title of nobility, as those want to say that it is. Yes, they have to pass the bar exam, and I agree that the ABA is an evil organization, and they've got an evil agenda, but what they're offering those who pass the bar exam for a particular state is not technically a title of nobility. It is a license, in a sense, just as people are granted licenses to become a doctor or a dentist, or many different professions have licensing. And I disagree with much of what the ABA is about, but I do not agree with the idea that what they're granting is a title of nobility.
All right, John, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Byron, who's calling us from Idaho. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Byron. What part of Idaho are you from?
Well, I'm from Coeur d'Alene.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I wanted to ask David about this situation we've got in our country now with President Obama and his birth certificate situation. Now, I listened to your program the other night, Dr. Stan, when you had had a guest on there. I think it was Joel Skousen, and he talked about the two different forms of birth certificates and that there was a long form and a short form, and that apparently Obama originally come up with some kind of a certificate that they call a short form.
Well, there's not really a long form and a short form. One is longer than the other, but one is a certificate of live birth, and the other is a birth certificate. A certificate of live birth is something that certainly, if you were, say, born at home and with a midwife, why that could be filed after you had been born. It wouldn't necessarily even have to be signed by a doctor. But right. It had nothing to do with the birth certificate, which is what you get in the hospital, signed by the doctor and accredited by the hospital. So they've intentionally tried to confuse this whole issue, because what President Obama came up with initially was a certificate of live birth, and then suddenly it transformed into a birth certificate, but there's a great deal of question as to authenticity. So you couldn't you could not have both.
Yeah, there has to be one or the other, can't be both, So it's on the record, then, that he is claiming to two kinds.
Absolutely.
My question to David Whitney concerning the birth certificate and that, what exactly does the Constitution say about the requirements? I know one of the requirements is they have to be 35 years of age.
Yes.
And the other one concerning nationality in that? Exactly. What does that mean now, specifically with regards, say, like to President Obama?
That's an excellent question. Article 2 specifies the other qualification is that he must be a natural-born citizen. So the debate is, what does natural-born citizen mean? Herb Titus, who's a constitutional attorney of a great, great respect for him because he follows the founders, he's done research on what did the founders mean by that phrase, natural-born citizen. And the research he's done, and by the way, if you're interested in getting the DVD of his lecture that he delivered to Institute on the Constitution, again, our website, iotconline.com, click on the store and go search Herb Titus or his title, Natural Born Citizen. And he shows very, very convincingly that our founders meant by natural born citizen that both parents had to be citizens of these United States. If both parents were not citizens of these United States, a person was not a natural-born citizen. Therefore, according to our founders, the imposter in the White House, doesn't matter whether he was born in Kenya or Hawaii, irregardless, he's not qualified to be president, and he's an imposter because he does not meet that qualification.
Wait a minute. His father was a British citizen. His mother was American citizen. So they have actually wanted to keep that suppressed. And the one, though, that they submitted, and there's a great deal of suggestion, a great deal of evidence that this is totally fraudulent. Why would he wait 2 years and spend $2 million of his own money to fight, bringing forth a birth certificate, and now he's brought one forward, but it admits that his father is an English citizen. So there's something very strange about what's going on. But go ahead, Byron. What was your point?
Well, I was just saying, boy, this is an issue. It would seem like every Christian lawyer in America and every constitutional lawyer in America need to have a strong, solid, firm stand, because if we allow this president to continue, and he really is in violation of our Constitution, the supreme law of the land, that could set a precedent that would make things fall all over the place, wouldn't it? I mean, with regard to, he sent troops into other countries to give up their lives for America, and I know one particular instance where there was I believe he was an officer that stood against President Obama because of the question on the birth certificate and whether he was legitimately president of the United States. And I think he got removed from the military.
Actually not removed, but he's in prison.
Oh, he's in prison?
Yes, he was tried right here in Fort Meade in Maryland, and he lost the case. And they refused to produce any evidence documenting that Obama was legitimately the commander-in-chief.
This will eventually be taken to the Supreme Court, and this man may well be exonerated, but this will be long after, hopefully, President Obama is out of office.
That's the problem. Well, how about our judges, that are promoted, or rather that are on the Supreme Court itself? Wouldn't they have to claim, and step out of the picture because of the fact if they were appointed to their position by a president that is not the true president,
or a
bona fide, legitimate individual holding the office of president, and any of the things that he did while holding that office illegitimately would have to be nullified.
Yes, you're exactly right, which means there's a huge constitutional crisis. Everything done is illegitimate. Every bill signed is illegitimate. Every action taken is illegitimate.
Obamacare, pooped overseas.
We're gonna have to move on because we've got a lot more people called in. But thank you so much, Byron. Your points are well made. Let's go to Jack. Do you have a quick question, Jack? Because we're just about out of time. Do you have a question?
Okay. Yep. I do, Dr. Stan. Pastor Whitney, the validity of the public debt, 14th Amendment, Section 4, is identified. And I was just curious if, consistent with Article 1, Section 10, where it says no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contract, whether Section 4 addressing the validity of the public debt is actually implying that the public debt is quite possibly a contractual agreement with the implied consent of the American people, but lacking informed consent, and thereby violating the principal tenet of valid contract law.
Hold that thought. Thanks so very much. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's go quickly to Doug for calling us from Spokane. Doug, are you there? Doug,
hello.
Are you there?
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
And the toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. And, Doug, I agree. What we need is people who are going to reach the maximum number of people that they can influence. And that's why we've designed what we're doing at Institute on the Constitution, to help the individual citizen do exactly that, because that's the hope, to take back America.
Amen to that. And then, of course, the major thing is to get people to understand the importance of freedom. and the true nature of the spiritual battle we're engaged in. Bye-bye, David. We'll talk to you real shortly on our other programs very shortly. And certainly the Institute of the Constitution supports Radio Liberty, and we support them. We think they're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We've got a small number of advertisers, but we have a $500,000 budget that we have to put out to be on radio stations, but we've got well over 60 radio stations. We picked up another couple here just this last week there in Utah, and suddenly we have actually one in Salt Lake City, adjacent to Salt Lake, another one in Utah, and we need your help to maintain the network of stations we have, and of course the radio stations, shortwave stations. We have internet, and certainly we have other means of reaching people on a regular basis, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why, you can. If you're not in a position to financially, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Now, if you certainly want to really understand what's going on in the world today, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the lectures we've given. Actually, they're in DVD form. The Forbidden Secret and The Dark Secret. They're two talks, and there's a syllabus with each one of them, and you need to get it, and you need to study it, and you begin to need to understand the powerful forces that are aligned against Christianity in the world today, because this is really behind everything going on, is a powerful spiritual battle. We have a great DVD. It's our friend Patrick Wood. It's called the Trilateral Commission, a very powerful organization, about 78 men, and certainly all the key people in all the key departments of the cabinet year after year always come from this same little group of people. They play, simply, musical chairs, but they are the people who run our nation. And, of course, they interlock with the Council on Foreign Relations, which was set up back in 1921 as a front for something called the Round Table, which was a front for the secret group, a secret society set up by Cecil Rhodes. Now, this is all covered in two books written by a liberal professor who taught at Harvard and Princeton before he went to Georgetown University, where he met and certainly sponsored a very, very famous young man named Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was his actually student, and he taught Bill Clinton all about how you get to be president of the United States. But the books are Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and the book The Anglo-American Establishment. They're both available from Radio Liberty. The Librarian of Congress, Sidney, has written an excellent book. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men. Fire in the Minds of Men, written by the Librarian of Congress. These are all liberals, but they will tell you about these secret societies that do exist. This is not imaginary. Then why do they attack people who talk about secret societies? Because you're not supposed to know what's going on. The media in America is controlled by six major corporations, and they all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next few minutes are going to be the views of Doug Woodward, who's written a fascinating book entitled Decoding Doomsday. Decoding Doomsday. How do we understand? There's a lot of books out there talking about sort of the end of the world or when things are going to begin falling apart. When is this doomsday? Will doomsday mean simply the rapture of the Christians, or will this be when the world ends or the second coming of God? But certainly there are many, many descriptions, but certainly many people have written about the fact that we are moving into a very, very difficult time. And I do believe we're moving into a difficult time. But I'm going to let Chris Doug tell you a little bit about a book he's written based upon his study of so many of the various theories that exist at this time. What is happening? What's the significance of this year? There's some people who say that the world is going to change on May 21st, actually. The people who own Family Radio, Harold Camping, says that the world is going to change on the 21st of this month. Others say that it's going to end on the 21st of December of next year. In other words, it's going to be a massive cataclysmic event that's going to affect all of our lives. And so, Doug, how did you happen to get interested in evaluating certainly doomsday?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you. Well, certainly a lot of it has to do with my background. I have read the Bible quite a lot when I was ill. I had, when I was 15 years old, about 40-some years ago, I probably shouldn't be too specific to give away my age, but over 40 years ago, when I was 15, I had a very nasty form of adolescent cancer, and caused me to sort of look at life's big questions and began to read this, the scriptures quite a lot as a young kid. I had a lot of good support, though, from family members that were praying for me, and I got to know a number of ministers that would come by and see me in the hospital. But I began to study the Bible quite a lot. Within a year or two, I stumbled across a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And it affected me probably the way it did a lot of folks. It caused me to begin to believe that perhaps the Bible might actually be relevant to what's going on in our world, to history and so forth. And so even as a fairly young guy, 15, 16 years old, I began to think, well, you know, the Bible may have something to tell me that I need to understand. And so I became fascinated by prophetic themes, and throughout the years I've studied them and taught them and written about them. A couple of years ago began to write my first book, and then finished up about, 8 months ago or so, a second book called Decoding Doomsday. And in that book, attempted to understand a lot of what had been put out and published in the last 4 or 5 years, in particular, by a number of authors. And so that's kind of how I got started into it. I began to realize that it was a cultural phenomenon just within the last few years. And I thought, well, perhaps I should compare what some of these folks are saying about the end times to the views that I had developed and read about and studied over the past 3 or 4 decades.
Well,
that's
because
kind of how I got started.
Well, people like Nostradamus have written about these dramatic things that are going to happen, and many people look to astrology, and they, of course, are going to tell us what's going to happen. There are a lot in the Bible about the times that we're approaching, but there can be no question at all in my mind, I hope there isn't in yours, that we're moving towards a climax in history. Is it going to happen in a matter of years or decades? Well, we're going to explore a little of that tonight. With a special guest, Doug Woodward, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Doug, where should we begin? Where would this story really begin if we were going to try to analyze what is going on in the world and all these various forces? Because there's so many of them. There's not just one, not just Nostradamus, but a myriad of people have come up with ideas on what is going to be happening as we move towards the climax of history. So you pick up the story.
Yeah, well, you know, Dr. Stan, it's interesting, just the number of TV shows, documentaries. In fact, I was watching a documentary from CNBC that was done and broadcast just a couple of days ago on the subject of Apocalypse 2012, and it was citing a number of the more popular authors that have written that are, you might say, secular or perhaps more accurately, New Age-oriented authors. And so there's a great deal of interest and curiosity. To some extent, there's a great deal of fear about what may be happening out there. There are a number of the folks that are writing books that are perhaps a bit overzealous in terms of predicting massive cataclysms. It's always possible, of course, that cataclysms could happen, and they've happened in the Earth before, but we're hearing probably more about them right now. Certainly the kinds of things that we've seen in Haiti and in Japan in the last year or so, you know, we're probably more on edge right now. And so the possibility of the apocalypse and the possibility of 2012, I think there was a poll recently that suggested that as many as 16% of Americans have actually now decided that something horrible is going to happen in 2012. And so, you know, I think one of the key things that we should probably talk about tonight is really the distinction between the predictions of what really amounts to the New Age movement, which is the focus of the 2012 sort of enthusiasm, or if not hysteria, versus what the Bible has taught historically about the apocalypse and the end times. Because there's a very, very different scenario, and I think I would right up front say that really we have to either agree with the predictions of the folks that are interested in 2012, or we need to agree with the Bible. Those two are not compatible, and as we talk, we'll probably go into that in more detail. Or perhaps we just come to the conclusion that neither are right, and we shouldn't be bothered by any of that. But the main point I'm making is that if we do tend to believe in prophecy, those folks that are predicting things under the banner of 2012 and New Age theology.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly if you watch television, there are a couple of wonderful programs on there if you like entertainment. One of them is called Fringe. And it's a story of these people who live in this dimension, but there is a parallel dimension with parallel people there that look just like the people here. Only there the Statue of Liberty is copper colored, and here the Statue of Liberty is greenish, even though it's made of copper. But there are comparable people there to here. And, of course, that then is the other dimension. Well, then, of course, there is another one called The Event. And it is even more gripping. It's about these people who are really not of this earth. They come from another universe, another planet, another, we don't know where they come from, but they come from elsewhere, and they're going to have to come here because their planet or their universe is being destroyed. So they're coming here, but they look just like us. But they would fit into this category of aliens. So basically, are we dealing with aliens from another dimension, from another planet coming to Earth? Is this really what's responsible for the things going on? Or certainly are these beings, and there's certainly no question they're beings here, are these simply some sort of supernatural beings? And what's the relationship to the other dimension? Is there another dimension? Yes, I believe there is another dimension, but it is not as being portrayed in any of the television scripts, because, of course, there's a conscious effort to keep us from understanding what is truly going on in the world today. Yes, there is another dimension. And certainly we read about this in the Bible. We're told in the scriptures that we should certainly be very wary of the astrologers, of the people who are involved in Ouija boards, of the people who are into spiritualism, people who are into divination, the people who are into all these means of tapping into the supernatural. It's not that it isn't real, but we are to avoid it like the plague. Why? Because, of course, it's so fascinating, and people tend to get drawn into it, and there really is supernatural power there. But you want to avoid that at the very risk of your soul. So there is another dimension, I think there's no question, if you study the scriptures. But we are to avoid that supernatural dimension, because there really is power there that you can tap into. What about this idea that there's an alien culture out there that comes from another universe? And I think that this is the greatest lie of all time. It's a deception to draw attention away from the very real spiritual battle that's being fought here on Earth between the forces of light represented by God and the very real forces of darkness, which are described so avidly in the scriptures. So basically, why don't you, Doug, go ahead and just pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we maybe talk about Nostradamus? What about his prophecies? It seems that a lot of them were fairly accurate. And what about Edgar Cayce? And what about some of these other seers who were able actually to predict the future?
Yeah, well, certainly they have been kind of wrapped into this whole 2012 thing as well, and it's given a lot of momentum to various seers and prophets. Nostradamus seems to be the most popular that we see portrayed on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel, my feeling is the reason that he's often portrayed is that he's probably politically correct. He's not, while he was a Jewish, he was brought up a Jewish, he actually had to convert to Christianity. But his prophecies were not, embedded or not put into the Bible, and so my sense is that television programs can talk about him because it's not showing partiality to Christianity over some other religion. So we see a lot of his prophecies discussed, and of course there's very strong divergent opinions about Nostradamus, whether or not his prophecies, in fact, either are truly prophetic at all, or whether they can be interpreted. There's certainly a whole slew of different prophecies we could go into, but certainly the prophecies he had regarding Hitler, Napoleon, a number of world leaders that he actually called Antichrist. He talked about three Antichrists, and the third Antichrist, some scholars equate with a character that Nostradamus talks about called Mavis. But it's not my view that Mavis is necessarily the third Antichrist, although Nostradamus talks about that. You mentioned Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce is also known as the Sleeping Prophet, and he would basically fall asleep. And during those sleeping times, he would make predictions. He would also provide various prescriptions of natural materials that could be put together, sort of as a pharmacist almost, would do this in his sleep and cause people to be cured. He had many predictions, some predictions towards that would happen. He suggested at the end of the 20th century. He said that Atlantis would be discovered. He said that the Hall of Records would be found and the Sphinx in Egypt. And of course, these prophecies have not come to pass. But nevertheless, there are still many people, even archaeologists in Egypt today, that are funded by Edgar Cayce's ongoing foundation. And so there's sort of no end of various prophets that have been involved in making predictions and are receiving a lot of publicity today and a lot of coverage. And of course, Dr. Stan, you and I believe that in the Bible, the most amazing prophets are showcased there with the most specific prophecies and the most comprehensive prophecies. And one of the things I often say is as many authors as there are that have written books in the last two or three decades about 2012 and the Mayans and even Nostradamus and so forth commentating on his prophecies, that there's really only a handful compared to biblically the scholarship that's been developed for thousands of years by literally thousands of scholars. And so if someone is truly fascinated by the future and what will happen in the future, reading books about 2012, their predictions are very small and minor compared to the predictions that are discussed in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a lot more to it.
All right. Well, basically, why don't you go into some of the things that have actually been prophesied and some of the major forces out there that have shaped the thought, not necessarily Christian thought, but the thought of so many people are trying to understand what is going on and how we can correlate the events taking place today. For instance, the events taking place in the Near East today. It appeared that the whole of the Near East is certainly in a revolutionary fervor. We've never seen anything like this before. There have been revolutions in Egypt and in Tunisia. There's certainly been, and these governments have been overthrown. Certainly there have been revolutionary movements in both Algiers and in Morocco and North Africa. There's a war going on in Libya today with American military and French and English there, and they're actively trying to overthrow the existing government of Gaddafi, who we've kept in power going back for 40 years, and now it seems like we're trying to overthrow him. We're not doing a very good job, but even with all the military might, he seems to be holding his own, but we see Sydney revolutionary ferment taking place in Yemen, your revolutionary ferment taking place in Syria. We see the demonstrations in Bahrain and certainly in Somalia and Jordan and the whole of that every the countries is certainly in turmoil. We already know certainly that Lebanon, the government there, has been overthrown. We know that the government of Turkey has turned away from its traditional Western alignment and is now trying to unite all of the governments there of the Middle East. I'm talking the very Stan countries, Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and I can't.
There's too many stands, aren't
all,
there?
There are too many stands there, right? And so basically, the whole part of that world is in turmoil. And what's the significance of that?
Well, if we talk about the Bible and really the 2012 prophecies have next to nothing to say about these issues, the Bible is very focused on these issues, as you know. And I have a chapter in the book that talks about the three wars or the three battles of World War III. And we might just highlight sort of what those are and how those might relate to what's going on in the world today.
All right, fine. I think that's so important. The three great wars, we've already had two of them, and it looks like we'll have another one coming up. Go ahead. Pick that up.
Well, yeah, these are all the ones I'm speaking of are still future. There are specific battles between Israel. Israel is the focus of really all of these final confrontations. The first seems to be discussed in great detail in Psalm 83, and I believe it's Isaiah 11 and perhaps Isaiah 17 that talks about Damascus. But the first war is characterized by Israel's immediate neighbors that are coming after Israel and looking for land, and they are wanting to basically destroy Israel and take over its land. And so the first great war is oriented around the land and taking the land of Israel, and it's all of the immediate neighbors, and of course they're described using the old tribal names characteristic of the Old Testament, the Edomites and the various tribes that situated around Israel. But what we see is in the Bible is that one of the most amazing predictions is that Damascus is going to be utterly destroyed. It's the city in the world that has been inhabited for the longest, so it's really never been destroyed before. And yet, in the book of Isaiah, it specifically says that Damascus will basically be destroyed in a single day. And, of course, that suggests perhaps some type of an atomic attack. And so that is the first of the three battles, is the immediate surrounding neighbors of Israel. There is a second battle, which we can talk about, which really is known historically as the Battle of Gog and Magog, and is discussed in the book of Ezekiel. In this battle, we see an alignment of different nations, and they are coming at Israel and attacking Israel for a different reason. In this battle, they're coming at Israel to take spoil. Israel apparently in the end times, as this battle is taking place, has created great wealth. And as we're discovering even right now in the world, Israel is, has discovered vast
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure. Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan in Sydney. Doug is talking.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
'39, where all these countries move against Israel, and then something supernatural is going to happen. It sounds like Egypt is going to be pretty well inundated, destroyed, some sort of a great flood, perhaps. Something, maybe the Aswan Dam there will be destroyed.
Yes.
But whatever it will be, why Israel, Egypt will be certainly taken out of this. But remember, this whole area is in foment today, and all of these governments are being overthrown. This is really what's so fascinating, frightening, and you look at that whole area of the world, and you can just see all of these countries are being overthrown. They're all being taken over, in my estimation, by the Muslim Brotherhood. And we are doing, remember, the Muslim Brotherhood has been created by Western intelligence agencies, funded and controlled by Western intelligence agencies. The best enemy money could buy. And now they're going to begin to unite all of those Muslim countries over there. It would appear they were preparing that they're going to go to war with Israel. Probably America will be on the other side. But if you look at the wars that we've been involved in before, look at World War II And if you really study this and you go back and you read the books that were written as a result of World War II, America's Nazi Secret, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and the Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham, you'll find out that the United States and our allies created Adolf Hitler, financed Adolf Hitler during the whole of the First World War, intentionally prolonged that war, and it was the American corporations who were building the weapons for Adolf Hitler, or we wouldn't have had a war. Now, Adolf Hitler was totally corrupt and evil, but there are evil people here who are playing their part, and they fomented that war, and it was a terrible and horrible bloody war. And but the question is, what's going to happen with the next war? Because I fear, if you go back and you study Vietnam, the United States funded the Russians all during the Vietnam War, and they funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys. And so we lost 58,000 American boys in that senseless war, where, of course, we were never allowed to win. It was all make-believe. And certainly, this is a recurrent problem. It's the Korean War, we were never allowed to win. The Vietnam War, we were never allowed to win. But now we're being manipulated into another great war in the Middle East, and we have our troops stationed over there. I mean, why in heaven's name would we have, 90,000 troops in Afghanistan, 110,000 contractors, 46,000 AT troops aligned against between 50 and 100 members of al-Qaeda. It doesn't make sense unless there is another agenda, and this is my fear, is that there is another agenda. This is all as a prelude to this coming great war when America will be aligned with Israel against all of these Muslim nations, and there are going to be, I think, some terrible things. And, of course, one of the interesting things, and I'm sure you've noted as well, Doug, is the fact that America is not really mentioned in the scriptures. You pick the story up there.
Yeah, well, certainly that, of course, is one of the mysteries that many people have asked. You know, why isn't America more specifically called out or identified in scripture? Dr. Stan, I know based upon reading some of the materials you put together, perhaps you had a chance to read the chapter in my book where I talk about America and talk about America's role in the future wars and so forth. It is my sense that through some historical analysis that America turns out to be right at the heart of what is going on in the future world. And while I'd like to think that we're both great patriots, there's no question that the battle for the hearts and minds of Americans has always been a contest between you might say the Christian forces, the forces of primarily Protestantism over the last 400 years, versus the forces that might be aligned more with Freemasonry, with various secret societies. Both respected and believed in the importance of reason and separation of church and state, and yet ultimately there's a real big difference. And so we could go into great detail about that, of course, but it turns out that I believe that America is involved, and that it's very conceivable that America, as a basically a series of colonies from Europe, that we may in fact be a participant in effect what becomes the kingdom of the Antichrist. Certainly this war of Gog and Magog that we were talking about is a war that happens just either before or just as it becomes clear that the Antichrist, in fact, is afoot and is in the world and is beginning to make his presence felt.
Hold that thought. So, we'll be right back.
Yes. Yeah. We raise our voices.
Well, Doug, you go right ahead and pick the story up there, because you've done a lot of work on this. And certainly, what do you see happening here? Certainly, right now, America would appear to be aligning itself with Israel. Do you think that is going to shift as this war progresses?
Yeah, it's of course a tremendous question to really try to figure out exactly what America's policy is right now with Israel. Historically, as you know, we've been a staunch supporter of Israel ever since Israel first was first formed as a nation back in 1948. America has been closely aligned with Israel. Under the present administration, under the Obama administration, the tensions between the Prime Minister of Israel today, Benjamin Netanyahu, and our president are pretty apparent when you see them meeting and talking and so forth. It's not crystal clear that America is on the side of Israel. And yet, if push comes to shove, one would suspect that America would still do what it can to support Israel. And yet, what's interesting, Dr. Stan, in reviewing this scripture, both on the sort of the first war we discussed, that's really the nations immediately surrounding Israel, and in the second war, the war of Gog and Magog, it's not obvious that America is even playing a role. It may well be that it is stepping aside, that it is not taking any action at all, and that Israel, in effect, is left by itself. And that seems to be the scenario that most prophecy scholars have described over the last 100 years, that Israel in the end times will find itself basically against all alone against the rest of the world, and there would be basically no one there to support Israel. And yet, once this second battle of Gog and Magog happens, it appears that either in Europe or perhaps an American leader will step to the front and will sign some sort of an agreement with Israel that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, describes, and John the Apostle in Revelation describes, in which some form of covenant, perhaps an agreement to provide security, military protection.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought here. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, is Doug Woodward. His book, his course, is Decoding Doomsday: The 2012 Prophecies, the Apocalypse, and the Perilous Days Ahead. That's the 2012 Prophecies, the Apocalypse, and the Perilous Days Ahead. Doug, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get your book? Do you have a website?
Sure.
How they get more information about what you've written?
Certainly. They can, if they'd like, they can go to a website that I have set up especially for the book. Remarkably, it's called www.decodingdoomsday.com, all one word, Decoding Doomsday. And there you can find information about the book, a little 6-minute video that describes some of the highlights of the book, and you can order the book if you'd like. Another blog site that I have actually is called Faith Happens, and it's faith-happens, H-A-P-P-E-N-S, .com. And on that site, I will typically about every week write an article. I just sort of refresh that and put out an article sort of on the what's going on with some of the alien beings and some of the things that are happening in outer space that could be signs of the end times. And so I've just put a blog out there recently on that topic as well. So those are certainly ways to get a hold of the book. You can also look at Raiders News Network. Tom Horn's organization. Tom also is my publisher, and Tom also sells the book and frequently has articles that I've written as well out there.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about these alien beings? Where does this fit into it? I thought we were talking about a conflict between Israel and their neighbors. So where do the alien beings fit into this?
Well, that's of course, another remarkable story and great question, but if we begin to shift our focus back to this man of evil, the Antichrist, we might be able to go in and talk a bit about who this Antichrist might be, his nature, and so forth. And there's quite a story about this. In fact, it really ties into the 2012, the New Age movement. One of the characteristics that you're seeing today is if someone's written a book on 2012, chances are they've probably also been talking about how they get a lot of their information from beings from outer space, at least that's what they say, that they get lots of information from these beings that tell them what is going to happen, with predictions that aliens are soon coming upon the world to provide perhaps help and guidance to us. So we're seeing some very strange things. Perhaps these are the signs in the heavens that Jesus talked about. But one thing is clear is that the New Age movement, 2012, many of the people that are focused on the aliens, the Pleiadians as they're sometimes called, those that talk about ancient alien astronaut theory, there are so many myths, and I think Dr. Stan, as you talked about earlier, I agree with you that it's one of the great deceptions of the last times, that we will see no longer do people regard God as their creator. They now suppose that we are the product of perhaps panspermia, that a seed that has been sown throughout the galaxies by intelligent life, and that extraterrestrials are soon to show up on Earth to provide guidance and to make us aware that they have been nurturing us and looking after us. And so this is the great deception that we anticipate could well accompany the appearance of the Antichrist, and could well lead to unearthing some very amazing elements of what his nature might be.
Well, I think it's really so interesting. We saw the video, I think it's probably 7 or 9 years, and we had a serialized television program. It was called The X-Files, Mulder and Scully. And basically, the truth is out there, They're obviously, there is this secret force that's out there, and you eventually find out it's the aliens. And, of course, basically, the whole of this conspiracy that's going on is to cover this up, because the public could not accept the fact there really are aliens with supernatural power. It's really a great story and very intriguing, and you get almost to the point where you believe this. And this is all part of the lie, because, of course, they do not come from another galaxy or another universe. These are spiritual beings. And certainly the same is true. Everything is a cover. And certainly this is the story of the Fringe. This is the story of the event so popular today. Very, very good stories. But the other dimension, of course, that's described in the Fringe is really the spiritual dimension, where these spiritual beings exist, and where the battle is being fought between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And as far as the event is concerned, suggesting there are aliens coming from another dimension, another universe, of course, look just like us, it's all to distract people from understanding the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on today between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. Would you agree or disagree with that, Doug?
No, I would agree. That's my perspective as well. And as I have done research and studied various spiritual phenomena that have been written about through the ages, certainly the last several hundred years, these little gray men that we talk about now as the grays or gray aliens, they really look very similar in the visions that were drawn on caves, the visions that Aleister Crowley had. Who was affectionately decided to call himself the Beast. He formed a magical black magic group at the turn of the 19th century, coming into the 20th century. Heavily influenced NASA, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, just a phenomenal connection between the spiritual forces that have become described as beings from outer space, but 400 years ago they might have been described as fairies or leprechauns or elves or some other spiritual being. And so today it may just be that the spirits have decided that they look more sophisticated if they're dressed up as aliens and appear and disappear into metallic-looking spaceships. But it certainly seems historically that this is just a great deception, and that's just the way they're appearing today. But they haven't always appeared that way, and yet they've always been present in our civilization, and we see pictures of them from the Middle Ages and beyond and before. So fascinating deception, I would think.
And, of course, the thing is that there really is a spiritual dimension. This is what people do not understand. We live in a material dimension, but there is a mystical dimension. We live in a subjective dimension, but there is a spiritual dimension. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and it's without an understanding of the fact that we live in a visible, tangible world, but there is an intangible, invisible world out there. Until we understand the spiritual dimension, none of this really makes sense, and we'll fall into this trap of really believing that there are these aliens coming from another dimension, from another area, and that is all to deceive us. We are involved really in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and this is why the Bible cautions us to avoid astrology and avoid divination and to avoid, you know, the tarot cards and all these other supernatural vehicles that are there, because the Lord knows how fascinating they are. And there is supernatural power. You can tap into it, but you do at the risk of your eternal soul. You pick up the story, Doug.
Yeah, well, certainly another aspect to it that becomes very evident in the 2012 literature is the use of hallucinogenic drugs. The McKenna brothers, Terrence and Dennis McKenna, have written several landmark books in the 2012 literature, The Invisible Landscape, which is actually McKenna's way of talking about this invisible dimension, that as he and his brother went south of the border to discover what they were looking for was a particular type of mixture called okuhi, or ayahuasca, which was a particular type of drink that involved peyote and sort of the magical mushrooms and so forth. What they discovered as they began to take these drugs was they sort of tripped themselves into trance states and began to dialogue with spiritual entities and spiritual beings. And ultimately, it led Terrence McKenna and Dennis McKenna to propose that, once again, that this is the nature of God. God is really just a spiritual dimension. God involves just these spiritual entities, when in fact, of course, as you've described, Dr. Stan, they're really encountering spiritual entities that perhaps could be demons. And their doorway into this reality is drugs. Other trance states, we've seen other religions, whether they use rhythmic drums or they use meditative states, they use sensory deprivation. There's all sorts of ways to trick the mind and to put the mind into a different sensitivity. And, of course, most of the 2012 literature really doesn't talk about the end of the world. It talks about a transformation of humankind. That's probably the most dangerous aspect of the 2012 phenomenon. Isn't that it's predicting the end of the world, but it's predicting a new age that will come about where people will have higher consciousness, and that it will become our goal as human beings to learn to use these spiritual gifts in order to be able to encounter these entities and to more deeply understand our own spirits and so forth. So it's very inwardly focused, and it is a sort of a modern equivalent of the old Buddhism that's been mixed with New Age thinking and American individualism and sort of pseudoscience. It's all wrapped up into this mixture that is really what we call the 2012 movement. And most all of these authors, that's what they're about, is predicting that sometimes they talk about aliens and they talk about extraterrestrials, and they include them in their scenario for what's going to happen in the past 2012. But sometimes it's just individuals talking about spiritualism and getting in touch with these spiritual realities and experiencing these amazing experiences and colors and sights and sounds and from a different dimension, and an awakening to the fact that there is more than just the empirical world. And so that's ultimately the real hidden danger of the 2012 phenomenon, is it's promising a new religion and a new way of relating to the world, and essentially false gods and a false religion.
And it is so easy to fall into this trap because we are so intrigued with these other things, and that is why the book of Deuteronomy basically warns us to stay away from this thing, to avoid these things. We have to know they're there, but certainly do not try to tap into this supernatural power, because it is there. There's tremendous power that you can tap into, and as many people have, certainly many of our financial leaders have tapped into the supernatural power. They've got great fame and great wealth, but at a terrible, terrible price for eternity. This is what people really don't understand. And whether we talk about J.P. Morgan, whether we talk about Carnegie, whether we talk about Henry Ford, or whether we talk about certain members of the Rockefeller family, whether it be Stephen Rockefeller or Lawrence Rockefeller, and we can't tell you how many of the other Rockefellers were involved with these supernatural forces. The Mellons apparently were into the occult. And these people have tapped in. They've been very well rewarded. Did you get into any of this at all in your studies?
I did. And in fact, a lot of what I talk about is what I also call the dark history of 2012, and talk about the sort of intellectual roots to the New Age movement, which was really sort of a popular topic in the 1970s to the 1990s. But since the year 2000, the 2012 movement really has become the new label for the New Age. But we go back and we talk about, I mentioned Aleister Crowley earlier, but if I mention the religion known as Theosophy, which was founded by Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who was a Russian and an American named Henry Steele Alcott, they formed in effect a religion, which was the sort of merger of Buddhism and science and American individualism, wrapped it all together and called it Theosophy. And they put that together and founded it in New York City in 1874. But it had far-reaching impacts. It eventually caught on in Europe. It became a tremendous influence throughout Europe and influenced a young Adolf Hitler. Helped to form the concept of the Thule Society, where there was a great emphasis upon the legends of the Norse and the Edda, and ultimately the secret doctrine, which really the secret doctrine, which is talked about in Theosophy, is essentially a belief in the old lost continent of Atlantis. And so when one delves into this history, you on the one hand, you are just staggered that smart people could stumble into such arcane and strange belief sets, the hollow earth, the fire, the battle between fire and ice. These were all very elemental to Nazism, to Heinrich Himmler, to the SS, and became essentially the spiritual religion of Nazism. And that was the background to what was occurring behind the scenes, and ultimately what led to the horrible anti-Semitism, to the Holocaust. All of these ideas stemmed from the Theosophy, and to some extent from also the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, his concept of the Übermensch, the Superman, the will to power, his madman that proclaimed God is dead. All these things were intellectual ideas that were all rolled up and really infused Nazism with its sort of intellectual power. And so, yes, I get into all those discussions and talk about those and then really bring them up to date and talk about kind of what current people are talking about and how their points of views really harken back to not only Madame Blavatsky, but her disciple, Alice Bailey, David Spengler, Benjamin Krim, the whole hierarchy of the New Age movement and so forth.
And these are, of course, very active today. Now, what about 2012? What part does 2012 play in this? Why is that date so important?
Yeah, for most of these people, what they're really promulgating here, what they're really proposing is a new religion. A religion based upon self and based upon encountering supernatural entities. And what they're predicting is that 2012 is the crossover date in which we will encounter this opportunity to endorse, to accept this new religion, this new way of thinking. And so most of these authors talk about how it's necessary that we make this transition. And that is, in effect, the time that the new age will come about, is in 2012, according to them.
Do you think we'll come about that, or do you think this is a trap?
Well, I think it's a trap. Now, could terrific cataclysms happen in 2012? Certainly, they've happened in 2011. Just ask the Japanese. We could see more cataclysms. Could we see...
Hold that thought.
Yes.
Well, right now we have Jack on. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Speaking...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades.
Okay, fine. Well, there's just so much here, ladies and gentlemen, that Doug's done a great job with this book. And but we are entering very, very serious times. And certainly if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you better start looking into this and the claims of Christianity. Because this is certainly a philosophical battle, but it is also a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural, financial, and educational battlefield, but there really are spiritual forces out here, and we are addressing them today. Now, we actually have a great four-tape set. It's called The Supernatural, our interviews with Joanna Michelson and others about these very real supernatural forces That's a 4-CD set, The Supernatural. We have a 4-CD set on Satanism there's a book on Satanism, and this 4-tape set on Satanism. And it's put out by William Kennedy, Satanism and Crimes of Satanism. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it will introduce you to all of these things. Let me suggest our talk on the forbidden secret and another talk on the dark secret, and there's syllabus that goes with both of those that will give you the opportunity to read the writings of our leaders and what they talk about this supernatural dimension. You will have to have perhaps a little help in understanding what they're saying, but once you listen to the talks and then read the syllabus, you'll understand exactly what they're talking about. The people within the Brotherhood of Darkness always speak in code. The last thing they want is for the American people to understand what this is really about. And our job is to interpret it as best we can. We don't have all the answers. We got a lot of good questions, though, and hopefully they will lead you to a better understanding of this supernatural struggle that we're involved in today. Let me suggest the DVDs. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. There's a 3-hour version, a 4-hour version, a 10-hour version. And the place to get them, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage at radioliberty.com, and you'll get all sorts of information. We have great information of these. The 4-tape set, or 4-CD set, has my interviews with Joanna Michelson, who is actually a medium, and she saw all sorts of supernatural miracles, which she really thought were coming from God, until, of course, she had an opportunity to analyze them, and then she had to go back and talk to all the people, so many of these people who had actually been part of this miraculous healings that she witnessed, and it turned out they were all demonically possessed. And she began to realize, of course, she was deeply involved in the occult. And she was actually a medium. She had supernatural powers. She had supernatural insight. And she had to renounce all of this. And this we have wonderful, wonderful interviews with Joanna Michelson, certainly one of our favorite guests. We have so much material out there. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com. If you want to know about finance, if you want to know about the history of what's going on today, if you want to understand really what is transpiring, let me suggest our ministry. You can listen to our tapes. You can watch our DVDs. You can certainly read our news.